Come at the hour, come at the mothership that is Coast to Coast AM. From its undisclosable location for reasons of ever diminishing security and therefore ever escalating insecurity. Filling in for ship's captain George Norrie on Friday night. Your humble narrator, John B. Wells. Pleasure to be with you. We will do some open lines tonight. Yeah, the last time I think I kept Alex Jones on the wire for four solid hours. Haven't spoken to him since. I hope you had a good week. Tense, yes, up and down and all around. And looking over the news services here, it's absolutely outrageously bizarre. I mean, really more so than usual. Stuff just messing up all over the place. Did you see that thing today where the car chase ends with a suicide live on Fox News? And there's Shepard Smith going, shut it off, shut it up. His apology seems sincere enough. Stuff happens. I think we all know that. Yes? Murphy's Law, what can go wrong will go wrong. And then, as we go through the news here, mystery mini shuttle may come to Florida. France sets a 75% super tax on the rich. But the French ministers, they say, this is unavoidable. Okay. In Chicagoland, a gang member tells a reporter there's no solution to the violence. Killing is the solution. We need some re-education there. I think immediately, sooner if not later. Is the end of Monsanto near? Prop 37 succeeding as nations ban GMO crops? You heard that report last time. The lab mice that were fed GMO corn for the length of their lives all developed tumors. 70% of the females died early. So it's just no good, and people are upset about it, and it's just not happening for them, so they're dumping it. This is slightly disturbing. Monster typhoon headed for Fukushima. This came in at about 9:45 p.m. tonight. Forecast shows direct hit Sunday. Super typhoon Jellawat affecting Japan. It's a large and powerful storm. Been bringing very rough seas to areas in the western North Pacific. NASA's Terra satellite passed over the monster storm and captured a visible image as it nears the Big Island of Japan. So, in other words, Fukushima could be hit again. There's a lot of stuff. Everybody's in Fukushima to death, but I'm telling you, and I really mean it, it's a serious and ongoing problem. They said 6 months ago it'd be 10 years before they could even crack the lid and look in. A lot of stuff can happen in 10 years, so we'll monitor it, and if it gets silly, then we will let you know as quickly as possible. There's other stuff out there as well. Just about the time that one of the big news services, Drudge Report, as a matter of fact, puts Obama plans $450 million cash for Egypt. What happens next? Well, I'll tell you as soon as I get this thing up. Yep, the U.S. House blocks the administration's plan to send $450 million to Egypt. Blocked it. That would be Kay Granger out of Texas. So it's insane, isn't it? Don't you find? And there's other stuff, but why go there? Yes, we have a program tonight I think you will like, and we will do open lines later on. Just talk about whatever you want to talk about. But for the next little while, we'll have Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller. Who are these people? Well, Dan is very unusual. Again, what was once normal is now radical. He's 19. He's an Eagle Scout. He's recognized as one of the top 30 impromptu speakers in the whole United States. And Stephen Miller has studied law for over 20 years. He's an expert at using law to benefit and remedy the public's interest and make changes. He also writes material for PANDA, that's People Against the National Defense Act. And it's a very, very interesting little twist on the National Defense Act, the National Defense Authorization Act, the one that has everybody scared to death, at least the ones that know very much about it. And that would be the part about the indefinite detention of U.S. citizens without charges, phone call, or anything. Indefinitely meaning indefinitely, like no one may even know where you are. But there is some more on that. And it may put an interesting spin on tonight's talk, particularly at this juncture with so many things about to happen toward the end of the year, for example, in a national election. President Obama has waived. Now, this is according to the HuffPost Politics. Waives rule allowing indefinite military detention of Americans. White House released rules Tuesday evening, waiving the most controversial piece of the new military detention law and exempting U.S. citizens as well as other broad categories of suspected terrorists. Indefinite military detention of Americans and others was granted in the defense authorization bill that the president signed just before Christmas, sparking a storm of anger from civil libertarians on the left and right. But the new rules, which deal with Section 1022 of the law, are aimed at soothing many of their gravest concerns, an administration official said. Those concerns are led by the possibility that a law that grants the president authority to jail Americans without trial in Guantanamo Bay based on secret evidence could easily be abused. Well, yeah. Now, get this. You may recall last Saturday night we did an interview with the producers of Unsealed Alien Files. So this is just information. This is not intelligence yet. But this is Veterans Today, Military and Foreign Affairs Journal. Now get this. This is no one could make this up. Joint fleets fend off UFO threat. This last week, reports of Chinese naval vessels off the U.S. coast, Northern California in particular, have been reported but denied. Now, an Asian intelligence agency reports that a combined fleet operation between the U.S. and China has been going on, a full combat operation against what we are told is a highly unfriendly extraterrestrial threat. Now, the verifications of the fleet operations have been many. There have been no confirmations from the U.S. side, though the ships have been seen by every vessel that makes it offshore. The true nature of both the threat and the extent of the multinational military force is beyond any imaginable classification level. Now, here are some of the rumors. Extraterrestrial craft operating from underwater bases. Advanced U.S. suborbital weapons platforms represented as tested have actually been deployed from Vandenberg Air Force Base. These are armed with energy weapons. Here's another rumor. UFO tracking has been moved from conventional to nanotechnology, with microscopic sensors being used to detect behaviors such as dimensional rifts and distortions in time, things only discussed in TV shows like Fringe and X-Files and stuff like that. But the actual classified memo on very short distribution mentions only the following. Opposition is extraterrestrial, extremely aggressive, and unfriendly. Threat represents a clear and present danger isolated to the Pacific Basin. Are we cloaked? Good. China is forced to carry U.S. responsibility because their own naval capability is sitting in the Persian Gulf. Attempts to seek confirmations or directly verify these operations will lead to fatal consequences. Okay. So I'm not going to read anymore, but you've heard it, so there it is. Had enough? Oh, come on. We're just getting started. We'll be back with Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller on the Friday night. And some open lines with you, Coast to Coast AM. Welcome to the Friday night edition of Coast to Coast AM. John B. sitting in for ship's captain, George Norrie. Now, looky here. Let me tell you about these two fellows who are about to join us, because these are very cool people. Now, I told you Dan Johnson's 19 years old, is an Eagle Scout, and recognized one of the top 30 impromptu speakers in the U.S., but he's also a political science major at Bowling Green State University. Speaks a moderate amount of Japanese, they say. His wake-up call was watching a video on the NDAA in November, and after doing some research in late January, he founded PANDA, People Against the National Defense Act. It's supported by groups across the political spectrum and is now one of the fastest-growing liberty movements in the nation, with over 60 chapters in over 30 states, recognized by many as an upcoming expert on the subjects of liberty versus national security. The 2012 National Defense Authorization Act, H.R. 347, and the gradual slide toward an American police state. Dan Johnson has already spoken to both the Northwest Ohio Conservative Conference and the Oath Keepers Midwest Regional Conference. And Stephen Miller, told you already, studied law for over 20 years, acts as a private attorney general for the public interest. He's an expert of law and using law to benefit the public's interest and make changes. He also writes material for PANDA. That's People Against the National Defense Act. And by the way, I'll give you their website in a minute. You can take a look at it. He served in the U.S. Army, received an honorable medical discharge. He was chemically poisoned, almost died of pneumonia at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. But he's also known worldwide as Maestro Stephen J. Miller, opera tenor and guitar virtuoso. He set a world record live on TV for the longest human vocal notes and most powerful operatic voice, still unbeaten. Gentlemen, welcome upon the bridge of the mothership that is Coast to Coast AM. It is a delight to have you here tonight.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you, John. Very eloquent. Thank you.
Well, thanks. You know, I remember one time back in the Stone Age when dinosaurs roamed the earth, I actually won this toy called a monkey gun. And it was by going on the this local TV station, which is a huge thing now. Actually, it's a huge thing then. We just didn't know. It's the only one we knew about, really, that and two other stations. You go on Icky Twerp's Slam Bang Theater, and he would have the children do strange things like hold a note. So I held a note the longest where everybody, I was determined to get the toy. This is fifth grade, we're talking. And everybody's looking around like, is this kid going to shut up or what? So I don't know. Despite the tender number of my summers, you might have me beat there, Stephen. I'm not gonna have a competition with you for holding the longest note on a, you know, in a national forum. That might be mortifying.
You're being very kind, John. You're amazing. Your voice is just amazing as an opera tenor. Your voice is highly respected.
Thanks very much for that. I had nothing to do with it, but I'm had to have it. I'm happy to have it. Otherwise, it would be completely unemployable. Now, now, how is it that you two fellas got together? You're obviously, both of you are doing great things in your lives. And Dan's 19. I haven't asked how old Stephen is, and I won't. But how'd y'all hook up and form an army of two?
Steven actually, he went on our website, like a lot of people are doing right now. Went on our website, went to the Join Us link, and typed his information, said he wanted to join us in fighting the NDAA. And we called him back, and I've been working with him for about a month now or so, if maybe a little more than that. So, but that's through the Join Us page on our website is how we got together and found out that he was a really excellent guy, and he knew his stuff. So,
you know, I'm very interested in finding out, Dan. I am sure that there are lots of young men and women out there that are in your demographic, shall we say, that are doing great things. But it is, you know, it's the propaganda that that you hear, meaning the general chatter, is that these kids, you know, they're not really. They're not engaged in politics. They're not really aware of what's going on. They're just more into the party mode. Do you find that to be the case, or are there some, or do you come across people like yourself who are engaged at 19?
I see a lot of party mode, don't get me wrong, but I have found in doing things like flyer blitzes, so going around campus or going around the town and handing out flyers, asking if they knew what NDAA was, I have actually found that not only is the younger generation, being those about a college age, more aware of the things that are happening in the world, and actually more of them have heard of NDAA than the older generation, but they're also more willing to listen to a new idea. They're not as locked in. So if that is the propaganda, I find the opposite to be true.
That's excellent. That's good to hear. Anytime that we can debunk propaganda, it's a good thing. Well, so it's just the three of us here with a few million of our closest friends. So just be at your ease, and anybody go at any time that they want to. For those in the listening audience who are really not familiar with NDAA and really have other things to worry about, but sort of need to be concerned about this, what exactly is it, as you can explain to them, and this recent development today about the waiver for the indefinite detention? Does that get your attention, and do you believe it? I mean, do you think it'll hold more than a couple of months?
Now, as far as the NDAA itself, and this would be for listeners who even already know what it is, because as you know, John, and as you know as well, Stephen, as many of the listeners know, we're heading into the World Series here, to use a baseball team term, in world events. This is, we are heading toward the last stand for America, as we are close to the edge of a police state. And the last stands for America, since we are one of the only superpowers left, is really one of the last stances for the world in general. So just as if I was going into the World Series, and just as if, and when all of us are going into the World Series, if I was a manager of a baseball team, then I would continue to run even people who know the basics, my star batters, through the basics over and over again. So it's always good to hear what you probably already know, just to confirm it and go over it.
Sure.
So jumping right into the NDAA, it stands for the National Defense Authorization Act. It has been passed for 48 years by Congress. The defense authorization indicates that it appropriates funds for military spending, and it has done that. However, since 9/11, it's become a more and more dangerous bill, leading up to the 2012 NDAA, which authorizes the indefinite detention of American citizens without charge and without trial. And according to Lindsey Graham and according to the bill, it makes America a battlefield, thereby imposing the law of war on American soil.
Okay. What do you make of this? What do you make of the Stephen? Jump in here anywhere you want. What do you make of this reversal?
And I'll interject and expand on what Dan just said as far as law. America, most of us know, has been under a declared state of emergency military law jurisdiction since 1933. Actually, before that, but it's been on the books, and that's why when you go to court for a ticket or for anything statutory, they'll say, oh, we don't want to hear the Constitution, because they're operating under the Queen of England, who's a proxy for Rome. Okay, and this is all completely unconstitutional, much less lawful, and people mistake legal for lawful. I'll expand on that just for a second, but legally you have to have a driver's license, but lawfully, according to the law, you don't. So there's a big difference there, and people confuse the two, and so that's what's going on. We're under a declared state of emergency, and now they're starting to bring it out in broad daylight. Like, we can hold you, we can do whatever we want. We're under military law jurisdiction. That's why everybody flies a Title IV battle flag instead of an American flag, and most people aren't even aware of it.
And it got passed. So the latest revision of it was passed, what, on New Year's Eve last year, I think?
Dan would know. Exactly.
It was passed on the anniversary of the Bill of Rights, but it was signed into law, as you noted. It was signed into law on New Year's Eve, yes.
Okay, and when we see this these waivers coming out of the White House, I mean, like I say, this is just information. It's not actual intelligence yet, but do you, you know, if they can turn it on and then turn it off, I guess they can turn it back on again anytime they want.
As far as an official waiver, I have not seen an official waiver come out of the White House since March or late February. And the late February waiver was President Obama, 1022, like you mentioned. The president was required to put that waiver in the bill. And it is not necessarily a waiver of indefinite detention for people, but merely procedures in which to implement Section 1022. And even without going into the legal ramifications of this waiver, which it was a while back, even without going into the ramifications, look at practicality. Number one, NDAA 2013's debate in the House. And that debate was centered around whether you should be able to detain a person or an American citizen, and the Smith-Amash Amendment, which would have effectively repealed NDAA, did not pass. And also, as we are well aware of the NDAA lawsuit going through, this lawsuit was appealed by the Obama administration within 24 hours of Judge Forrest issuing her permanent injunction. And they said that it would cause irreparable harm to the administration if they were to lose the powers in the NDAA. So even practically, that waiver did absolutely nothing to calm or to quell the powers that were granted under the NDAA.
Excellent. I'll tell you what, let's take our little break here. It's a substantial little break, but then when we come back, let us discuss the spin that's put on the NDAA. And I'll tell you what I'm talking about when we come back with our guest tonight, Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller. This is Coast to Coast AM. Okay, the spin I was talking about a while ago, let me tell you what I mean. This was so difficult about, you know, bringing the facts. A little deal I read from the HuffPost Politics a while ago is from February of this year. So then, a group of people sued the government, effectively, over the NDAA. And the judge said, this is unconstitutional, I'm blocking it. Guess what? Administration went back and said, can't have national security compromised because if some judge makes a decision, so they gave it an extension. Got another judge to extend it until the 28th, which is today. I don't see anything about it in any of the usual news sources. Nothing. You follow me? Spin it this way, spin it that way. It's there, it's gone. Oh, no, it's fine. Everything will be fine. Is it? Well, it will be as long as people like Dan Johnson, Stephen Miller, and others stay on it. Dan and Stephen are our guests tonight. We shall return with them, chat for a while, and take some of your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller, straighten me out on something here. Now, the spin I was talking about, it's like the NDAA is alive. No, it's not. They can't detain Americans. Like, yes, they can. Okay, somebody went to court. Judge said, this is unconstitutional. Got another judge, said, no, it's all right. We'll leave it in place for another little while. And unless I'm very much mistaken, I believe September 28th was the end of the extension. But I don't see anything about that anywhere. So what's up with this? I mean, is that the idea, is to confuse people, make them think that it's on, it's off, it's fine? What?
Yeah. National Defense Authorization Act, I'm going back into law terminology, and our listeners here on Coast to Coast, I'm a Coastie, they're very intelligent in the subject matter. Act, if you listen to the terminology they're using, National Defense Authorization Act, well, you go to a theater and you watch an act, there's actors. They're doing an act. It's fictitious law, but they use it against you in a real way. But if you don't understand the law, and if you're brought up on any stupid charge, they have you. But it's still an act, like the Military Commissions Act, Patriot Act. These are all fictitious maritime statutory acts. But they're not in real, like, common law, if you will. They're not permissible under any law. They're just an act. But unfortunately, the majority of Americans don't understand law, so they give up their rights and they go to jail voluntarily. That's basically how the law works in this country for the many decades. So, I mean, that's just, Dan's probably got a more expansive view on that.
Well, I'll tell you what, before we go back to Dan, let me ask you this. Now, if you've been studying law for over 20 years and you've been active in this, I suppose you have observed many, many blatant violations of the Constitution, like this one. Yeah. I mean, I take it, when you call it an act, I take it to mean it's not codified as law. It's just an act.
It's not law at all.
But how do you challenge such a thing?
Well, I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
I'm sorry, I just say, how do you challenge such a thing? I mean, the way that it was done this time in court?
In fact, I was just going to get to that. I'm glad you brought that up, John. The problem with our country is everybody isn't like you or Dan Johnson, very intellectual, intelligent, and well-informed. Most of them are busy trying to put food on the table, and they really don't have a grasp. I tell people every day, I don't know how many, a lot. I do auctions, too, but I tell them, don't participate. In other words, you know, don't participate in the banking system. Don't participate. If your mortgage is corrupt, which most of them are, find somebody like me that can point out the fraud within your mortgage and remedy situation. And if we all start taking an active role, no pun intended, in doing that, the system, their corrupt system, if you will collapse. But as long as everybody's volunteering and going to the courthouse with their ticket and saying, yeah, I plead guilty to statutory, these are all statutes. There's 65 million, million with an M, 65 million statutes. So we have been in a police state for decades. A police state doesn't mean there's a cop out in front of your house every minute or that there's a roadblock everywhere. A police state simply means that every single thing you do is policed. And you'll know this by when you have a yard sale and the local sheriff pulls up and writes you a ticket. It's been that way for decades. And now it's just so in your face. Go ahead. Anybody else wants to jump in there?
No, it's all good. Go ahead. Did you want to say something, Dan?
We've been in a police state for, I'm 48 years old. I was born just outside of Detroit. I lived through the riots, and George Norrie was speaking to him for a second, was a DJ when I was a kid. But anyway, that's another day. But so it was a police state back then. And I remember the National Guard shooting college students and the police shooting it on, and this is 40 years ago. So but now there's another 25 million statutes piled on top of what there was when I was a kid. So everything is illegal, literally. It's a federal crime to possess a lobster, okay? So, I mean, it's just so far gone. Without Dan Johnson, guys like Dan that I was lucky enough to meet up with, it gives me a little hope. And guys like you on Coast to Coast, to me, this is, I'm not trying to be too spiritual, but these you guys are divine people. You're sent here for a reason, and you're doing a good job. I was leaving it at that. It's incredible.
Well, you're very complimentary, and I'll tell you, there must have been some divine intervention. I think there must have been. I can't imagine that I would have been here otherwise, because it was because it was really unexpected and absolutely delightful. But anyway, hey, about your web, go ahead. Somebody was going to say something.
Dan?
Yeah, I completely agree as far as divine intervention. I am not a divine person in any way, shape, or form. But as far as divine intervention is concerned, we go back to our founding fathers on that one. They gave their property, their fortune, and even some of them their life. And they trusted their creator to protect them. And that is the same way I feel about this movement, me personally, not necessarily the movement, but not necessarily my organization. But I believe there, yes, divine intervention would have to come in. And I would completely concur with John on that.
Yeah. And if I may interject, I'm not going off the spiritual deep end. Nobody get panicky. But when you really give a deep thought, okay, and this gives people hope, which is hard to find right now. Unemployment, suicide higher than it's ever been with college students. So you just want to interject some hope. Well, and this goes into dimensional talk. I've talked with Jordan Maxwell for I don't know how many hundred hours in California. But I really believe we are, according to science, this is all scientifically weighed. This isn't from the church or anything, moving into a different dimension. So in other words, kids, I'm sorry, Dan, you're not a kid, but you know what I mean? The younger folks, kids to me or John, or they're way more smarter than I'll ever be, you're not so easily fooled. And this is the problem with the Illuminati, the Bilderberg, all these people. They can get on TV and blast out their lies, and people like Dan Johnson see right through it. I see right through it, but it took me a lot of work. The younger generation, they see right through this left and right paradigm, so it's coming to an end. And they know it, so they're acting fast to bring about whatever nuttiness they're trying to bring about. And we're trying to prove, Dan Johnson, myself, John B. Wells, all these good people, that no, the human race, for the most part, is civilized. We want peaceful remedy. You know
Neil Howell would call Dan, well, he is one of the, according to his... his algorithm there. You're one of the millennials. You are the greatest generation. The I can't remember the year spread, but up to about mid-late 20s now. The ones that are really going to come into their own in the new millennium. You're the ones that are going to have been handed this great big stinking plate of stuff, and you're the ones that are going to solve it, according to Neil. And he's researched it deeply. So I'm really not surprised about this, but I am curious, how do you pull other people, Dan, how do you pull other people who are in your demo into this? Or you indicated earlier that a lot of them are already into it. But I mean, are they organizing, and are they fanning out and networking and pulling more people in?
It's little by little. And one of the things that I personally loved about the Ron Paul revolution was it was never about getting a president elected. It was always about education. And they have done, and the Ron Paul revolution itself has done a lot to wake my generation up. And from there, it's just, the age of the internet, my generation has basically grown up with the internet and with this free flow of information never before seen in the society. And I think that free flow of information has been an extreme help to my generation in organizing. Panda was born on the internet. I still would probably be studying for my exams at this hour instead of being on Coast to Coast AM talking and trying to give hope to several listeners across the world. And without the internet, I think the internet has changed the demographics of my generation, and it makes it so much easier to reach out to people who have not been spoon-fed a certain rhetoric and a certain line. Rather, there's the internet and the free flow of information where they can go on and look up themselves. Google, YouTube, anything like that, they can go and look themselves. So they're much more open-minded. And I find that, and that gives me a lot of hope, and not hope like Barack Obama hope, but hope. And that gives me just a lot of inspiration to see my generation. We are going to not only have to deal with it, but I think my generation will deal with it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
He's doing a Dan. You guys are doing a job that's. I mean, nobody can commend you high enough. What your generation is doing, because I mean, I personally feel at fault. I mean, most days that I wake up, I'm a emotional person when I see little kids and teenagers and people in their 20s in college. I feel personal responsibility, if you will, because it's like, what did we do wrong? Where did we fail these guys? You know, it makes me sick to my stomach most days when I even think about it. So I try to find a way to fix it. And that's where I met Dan, and I started the Tea Party Revolution in Florida. And I won't even go into what they put me through down there, the law, government, terrorizing me. Tonight they zapped my radio and my neighbor's radio. Zapped it, dude. I mean, the radios went off and they didn't come back on. In fact, until your program, your producer or whatever, picked up to talk to me, our radio started fuzzing back in. My neighbor's door said, dude, my radio just popped out. $1,000 radio. And you couldn't get a single station on it. So I don't think they're happy about what we're doing, if you will.
Well, it's obvious that some of this, what I would call passive aggression is going on with a lot of people who are whistleblowers. I mean, it's widespread. They just kind of let you know that they're looking. I mean, two guys who shall remain nameless at this moment had drones come, over their houses at like 100 feet. They're not in a city situation. And one of them said it was a predator drone. It's like, really? So nothing surprised me. I start having net problems in the all kinds of issues, email issues and everything else, whenever there's a controversial guest, let alone a pair of them like yourselves. Say, about your website here, let me give it out here, People Against NDAA, not the NDAA, just peopleagainstndaa.com. I thought it would be org. I didn't have my glasses on, so I typed in org, didn't go there. And so by the time I found him, I figured out why I was having to type it in three times, just peopleagainstndaa.com. And on this site, You have a bumper sticker? Terrorist. According to the Department of Justice, if you have an anti-UN bumper sticker, you are considered a terrorist, or at the very least, suspicious. And then there's another one on here. 19 reasons the U.S. is turning into a giant surveillance grid. You know, before we get into some of the nuts and bolts of that, which are always fun, let me ask you this. Why do you imagine that there is this overwhelming desire on the part of the government to surveil everybody? I mean, why? How boring can it be? Most of us are just living our lives. And they're tracking us as we go, what, to get a Twinkie so they can fine us for eating a high-fat food? Or what is it?
It's fear.
Why are they so obsessed with this?
Fear. They control us with fear. And it's been that way forever, but now it's really, really bad, draconian, if you will, because they keep us in a catatonic state of fear. And then they offer us a slight solution, like a Milwaukee's Best or a Xanax or whatever drug. So, and then now they're ramping the fear up with the lighter tapping, and it's just ramping up the fear a little more than giving you remedy by saying, well, just behave. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I'm afraid it does.
Not only that, but those who gain power once, even their entire family, are very reluctant to lose that power, very reluctant to give that power up. We once in the world had many kings and many monarchs, and democracy is a very, very, and republics in general, but democratic republics are very new concept. And with this democracy, these kings, these monarchs do not have their power that they used to. Well, they are trying to gain it back through surveillance, and that is the control freak aspect of it. Much like if you're in a relationship and there's someone who wants to control everything that you do. Well, there's control freak aspect, that power aspect that is in there.
Very well, very well.
Their power back. So if going to have to control the world to do it, they're going to control the world to do it, but they want their power back.
Wow.
Well, power is the, I guess power is the, I suppose it's just the ultimate drug for some.
Yeah.
I suppose it really is. It's power for power's sake. I mean, really, after you've had everything the money can buy, what else is there, right?
That's true. John, here in Michigan, for example, Agenda 21, which we won't get into that because it's another show, but which I'm sure Dan might have somebody contact you about that, Agenda 21. But Michigan's basically a constitution-free zone because we're surrounded by the Great Lakes. And according to Agenda 21, which everybody can Google that themselves, just like it sounds, Agenda 21, look it up. Well, they're going to control. Michigan is a very oil-rich state. A lot of people don't know this. Hundreds and hundreds, thousands of oil wells, caps. Okay, they're going to control that. And our natural water source, which is spring water, all over the state, capped, and they're going to move all the people into these little concentration zones. This is already passed into law. And people.
This is already passed into law?
Yeah.
You know, this is extremely timely.
Yeah, all they need to do is enact it through causing complete chaos and then offer people remedy. Here's your remedy. The FEMA Relocation Emergency Center and rice and whatever else.
Oh, that sounds
not
great.
Not only
well,
Michigan, but several, and it's because of the borders, 100 miles from the border.
Right, exactly.
So
exactly.
Much of the country is under a constitution-free zone where they, and well, now all the country under NDAA is under a constitution option zone, but
a lot of the country
is under a constitution-free zone.
Well,
I was just wondering if everybody out there in listener land is getting this. This is really quite good stuff, and then I interrupted. Please keep rolling.
No, Dan's right. I wasn't trying to co-mingle, if you will, the two. But I'm just trying to say there's Agenda 21 is, they're working on that diligently, and that's just something you can research. Dan knows far more about it than I do, as a matter of fact. I just brought it up because I'm just sitting here looking out at the water. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, that's all right. Listen, we're coming up on one of our breaks here. It just so happens that, and I'm not trying to hook my wagon here to your team of horses. Well, you are a team of horsepower, but actually the program tomorrow night, I'll be sitting in the chair for that, and it's all about Agenda 21. So, yeah, we can get into that, too. It's tentacles from the same creature. It's just an octopus. It's, but, it, you know, the little bulb, the pulpa there. I think we know who that is.